to agenda item number 13, which is fenders.
Good afternoon, Commissioner, members of the board.
Mr. Smith.
Along with how we started this last month, I hope this will work for you guys. I'll introduce the cases, and then I'll let law enforcement describe what their involvement in this, and then I'll read staff recommendations.
Very good. First one up is Mr. Joseph Martin.
Mr. Martin he's a commercial fisherman, had three convictions on two separate dates within a one-year period. One count of scraping oysters in the James River without a scrape permit for the current season. One count of taking and possession of uncalled oysters from public rocks. That was 9 quarts total. And one count of harvesting over the commercial limit of oysters from the public scrape rocks, a total of 8 bushels.
Are we on peelers?
Nope. Sorry, you're right. Sorry. It was a long day for you guys, and I guess let's try that again. Yeah, so sorry, Mr. Martin had the two convictions that you were all looking at and I wasn't reading. So it was one count of possession of uncalled crabs, more than 42 in one bushel, and one count of possession of undersized peelers, greater than 21 in one bushel. Thank you. Sorry.
Officer Drummond? Sir, were you sworn in earlier? Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, help you God?
I do.
Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
David Drummond.
Officer Drummond, what else can you tell us about this case?
The first offense, which was August the 30th, 2013, for possession of undersized peeler crabs, 21 in one bushel, was written under Regulation 4 VAC 20-270-55. This offense occurred, as I said, on Friday, August 30th, 2013, approximately 10:15 a.m. in Accomack County. While on boat patrol in Pocomoke Sound, I had the occasion to inspect a commercial crabber known to me as Joseph D. Martin. I noticed a bushel basket of peeler crabs aboard Mr. Martin's boat, which appeared to contain peeler crabs under the required 3.5 fin size limit. I measured 21 peeler crabs from this U.S. standard bushel basket, and all 21 measured less than 3.5 inches from tip to tip of the longest bite. All peeler crabs were returned to the water, and Mr. Martin, who was cooperative, was issued a summons for the violation. The Regulation 4 VAC 20-270-55 states it is illegal to harvest, possess, or sell more than 10 peeler crabs per U.S. standard bushel, which measure less than 3.5 inches from tip to tip of their longest bite. And that law is from July 16th to November 30th of each year. On October the 9th, 2013, Mr. Martin was found guilty in Accomack County General District Court. He received a fine of $50 and a court cost of $116. On the second offense, which was August the 8th, 2014, possession of uncalled crabs, 42 plus in one bushel. It's also written under the culling violation of 4 VAC 20-270-20. This offense occurred on Friday, August 8, 2014, approximately 08:30 hours in Accomack County. While on boat patrol in Masango Creek, I had the occasion to inspect a commercial crabber known to me as Joseph Martin. I noticed a U.S. standard bushel approximately 3/4 full of male blue hard crabs near his culling table. These crabs had their claws removed, and Mr. Martin said he was using them to put in his peeler pot, so they were what we call declaws. I measured the crabs from this bushel basket and found 42 plus male blue hard crabs, which measured less than 5 inches from tip to tip of their longest spikes. I allowed Mr. Martin to retrieve what there were some legal crabs in the bushel basket. I allowed him to retrieve those while I issued the summons, while I filled the summons out. All the undersized crabs were returned to the water. State Code 282708 states it's illegal to possess more than 10 hard crabs for U.S. standard bushel, which measure less than 5 inches from tip to tip of their longest spike, or to destroy them in any manner. Smart was charged under the culling violation of 4 VAC 20-270-20 because he was actively working his crab pots and had not returned to the dock. So this is the violation. We use this regulation if they're actively working their crab pots, if there's no lead on the basket and they have not finished working, we use the regulation. If they return to the dock or they're in the hands of a buyer, then we use the code section. The culling violation states that crabbers must use two culling containers other than bushel baskets. Crabs must be culled at the place of harvest, and all undersized crabs immediately return to the water. On September 10, 2014, Mr. Bart was found guilty in Accomack County General District Court. He received a fine of $100 and court costs of $121. Any questions?
Any questions, Officer Drum? Thank you, Officer. Is Mr. Joseph Martin in the room? Please come forward, sir. Do you swear the testimony you give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self you got?
I do.
Please state your name for the record.
Joseph B. Martin.
Mr. Martin, is there anything you wish to add?
We've been doing this. I've been crabbing for 40-some years. We've been doing this all our life. I didn't even know that it was illegal to have them declawed under law and put them back in your pots. Only thing I knew, you couldn't sell them. I had no idea that you couldn't possess the crabs. But we've been doing this for 40 years. And I've had inspectors pull the pots up, but he was right. It's in the book.
Yeah.
But I was wrong. I'm totally wrong. But I had no idea that. I swear to you.
Okay.
That's all I can tell you.
Staff recommendation, Mr. Smita.
Staff's recommendation is a 1-year probation, so I'll read this for the record. In accordance with 28.2-233 of the Code of Virginia, Staff 232 of the Code of Virginia. Staff recommends the commission place Mr. Martin on probation for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, March 24, 2015 through March 23, 2016. According to the commission's guidelines for sanctions, two convictions of possession of more than 20 undersized crabs per bushel within a 24-month period recommends a 1-year probation. Any failure on Mr. Martin's part to obey any of the laws or regulations relating to the marine resources of the Commonwealth during the 1-year probation would result in Mr. Martin appearing before this commission again for a license revocation.
Matters before the commission.
Motion to accept staff recommendation.
Motion by Mr. Erskine.
Second.
Second by Ms. Haney. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye. Motion passes. Mr. Martin, you're on probation for a year. Let's dot the I's, cross the T's. Don't do that anymore. Thank you, sir.
Next case before us is Robert K. Topping, Jr. Again, this is a commercial cardholder. Had two convictions on January 27, 2015 for one count of taking oysters from a condemned area and one count of removing oysters from a condemned area during a closed season. I believe the MPO price is here.
Officer Chris, do you swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self you got?
I do.
Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
Brandon E. Price.
Officer, what else can you...
I have nothing sworn.
Do you swear that the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self you got?
I do.
Please state your name for the record.
Robert Butler.
Thank you, sir.
Sir, this offense occurred in the city of Newport News on January 12, 2015 in the James River. I observed a vessel, the Irene Annette, just offshore of Huntington Park, in an area that I thought was a little closer than what he should have been. A little while later, I got underway in a 30-foot Sea Arc and pulled up next to the vessel, got the GPS coordinates, just called it in to Rob Butler, who advised me that he was 599 foot inside the condemned area in that area of the James River. I had observed this vessel from approximately 9:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. making circular motion, harvesting oysters with a dredge just off of Kent Carr's property from Huntington Park prior to going up to this vessel to check it out. I spoke with the individuals on the – there's three individuals on the vessel, all three were card holders. Robert Topping identified himself as the captain on board that day. Based on the information that I received from Mr. Butler, I issued summonses for harvesting oysters from a condemned area and also harvesting oysters during a closed season in a condemned area, being this was in January and the condemned oyster season is May through August. Mr. Topping was cooperative throughout this entire process with me, very cooperative. While I was issuing the summons, he called Mr. Butler and contested the GPS coordinates that I had called in and gave Mr. Butler a separate GPS coordinates. And I'll let Mr. Butler go into that. If you would, please.
Upon him reporting this coordinate, I plotted it on the same AutoCAD system that we use for all our oyster ground. And his coordinate came up 183.57 feet inside the condemned area.
After issuing summonses, the oysters were put back into the river in the sanctuary. On January 27, 2015, Mr. Topping was tried in Newport News General District Court before Judge Kearns. After hearing the evidence from myself and Mr. Butler, he found Mr. Topping guilty of both charges and fined him $50 for removing the oysters from a condemned area and $50 for taking the oysters during a closed season. Again, Mr. Topping was cooperative during this entire process.
Any questions from the commission?
I got a question.
Mr. Zito.
Do you board the boat?
No, sir. I pulled up next to him. I was by myself.
Okay. I guess the real question is, do you ever look at the defendant's GPS to get the coordinates off of his machine?
No, sir. I did not.
I mean, do you ever do that?
No, sir. I did not.
Why do we not do that?
I don't know. I can only speak for me. I'm new. Only been here a few months, and, of course, this is my first oyster season. So I don't know how to answer that. I don't.
We've had cases come up before, and the defendants, they say, well, he had the wrong coordinates. You know, and actually we had one in here not too long ago that said, you know, please come on my boat and check coordinates so that, you know, the GPS coordinates. So that, but the commissioner or the officers would not do that. So I was just kind of wondering why would we not do that? And if you don't board the boat, then I guess you're not going to be able to see that.
Yes, sir. I can only speak for this particular day. I was by myself, so I wouldn't have been able to do it anyway. I wouldn't be against that.
And Mr. Erskine.
But I did understand Mr. Butler to say that he actually took the coordinates from the vessel operator. that he had given it, it was actually still inside the condemned area. I understand your concern, I think, about, you know, verifying what the harvester's saying, but that means that I guess we would assume that their equipment was, you know, operating similarly to law enforcement. I'm not sure. That's a commissioner question or maybe a council question.
If I could respond. I mean, there's a lot of difference between 500 feet and 100 feet, and a GPS is a GPS. Whether you have a handheld one beside a mounted one, you're going to get the same reading, and this issue keeps coming up, and that they keep saying you guys are giving them wrong GPS coordinates. And so I would think that what was done in this case would be very appropriate, that they took the GPS coordinates of the boat, and then he checked it and said, are you still in the condemned area? And so so that takes that defense away from the defendant.
Cannot check their GPS. I have done checks with my survey grade GPS against the law enforcement GPS, and it's averaged 10 to 15 feet. But as far as individual fishing vessels, we don't calibrate check, so we cannot speak to the accuracy of their GPS.
Yeah.
We know law enforcement GPS.
Mr. Hall might be able to add something.
I would add just one thing, which is, unlike, you know, speeding or something like that, there's no real defective equipment defense to a charge like harvesting in a condemned area. It's, you have to know where you are.
Any other questions of Mr. Butler or Officer Price? Mr. Topping present or represented? Mr. Topping, I need to swear you in. Counselor, I don't need to swear you in. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self you got? Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
Robert Kevin Topping.
Thank you, Mr. Topping. And counsel.
Your Honor, Commissioner, my name is Ben Mace. I'd like to ask him a couple questions. I could probably proffer to the commission what his testimony would be and maybe move it along.
That would be wonderful.
Basically, what Mr. Topping would say is he has been oystering for about 10 years or so. He has never had this kind of a situation before. He does not deny that he was, by his calculation, 183 feet into the condemned zone. He wasn't aware of the condemned zone. He knew of the markings for the zone that was close to the shore, and he just wasn't aware of the condemned zone. He was fully cooperative with Officer Price. He would say that he has, this kind of thing does not happen to him. If he had three, two other people on board, he's looking to accept the responsibility for it, but he's looking for no adverse effect on his license. Probation perhaps, but no adverse effect.
Mr. Ballard.
I see, I might be reading this wrong, but I see a previous conviction for removal of shellfish from a condemned area in 2010.
That was picking up. Sorry.
Five years ago, I think
there
was something. Was that
underside?
What was that?
No, that was picking up.
As well as another one from 2010 for harvesting oysters during a closed season.
That's the same thing. That was all for the same.
Well, their offense dates in January of 2010, April of 2010, December of 2010. October of 2011.
Mr. Jamie Green.
Any other questions from the commission? Does the commission desire to hear the health ramifications for consumer safety here from the health department? I see Mr. Zedron nodding. Is that necessary? Mr. Skiles, will you come forward for a quick minute? Do you swear the testimony you give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth self you got?
I do.
Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
I'm Steve Skiles.
Mr. Skiles, can you edify us and for the record here the ramifications of to human health here from oysters, shellfish taken from condemned waters to the direct market?
I'll try to be brief. You know, our staff spend a lot of time doing water sampling, doing water quality monitoring, and modeling to estimate the areas where the risk is just too high to harvest shellfish. And so all of our closures are based on a public health risk. And the risks are from sewage-borne pathogens, which can be from things like norovirus, which might make you uncomfortable for a couple of days, to things like hepatitis A, which could give someone permanent liver damage or possibly death. So there are some real concerns with harvesting in condemned areas. We put a lot of effort into where that line is so that we know what's safe and what's not, and we need for everyone to recognize the line and stay on the right side of it. It's a big risk, not just to the public health, but we see this in outbreaks in other states, the impact to the industry who's trying to comply when there is an outbreak is dramatic. It puts people out of business, and it closes rivers unnecessarily.
Thank you, Mr. Skiles. Any questions from the commission? Counselor, do you want to cross-examine?
Just a question, too. These regulations have been in effect since, I think, 09. There are other poles put into the river to mark dead zones. There, however, we're only dealing with coordinates, map coordinates for the condemned zone. Is there some reason we can't put forward these pilings of these markers out far enough to show what is the condemned zone, not just what's the dead zone?
The code requires that the health department designate the lines and provide the information to the Marine Resources Commission, and we have to buy the poles and signs, but they're the ones that put those up where it you need to be on the water to know what's a safe place to put some of those things. So we try to work with the officers that are out there. If an area that we have designated it would be our closure zone would be a risk for navigation, then we can work with them in moving it, but we base it initially on where the risk is.
Mr. Scouts, a quick question. Can you hazard or up guess how long this area in question has been under condemnation order?
And I didn't know before coming here that this is what I was going to be speaking to, where this is a James River closure along Newport News shoreline.
Correct. Honey,
it's been at least 20 years.
When I was saying since 2009, I'm just looking at the documents they gave to Mr. Topping at the time.
Right.
It said they were amended in 2009. I didn't know where they were before that.
I understand that. But I think the question and the answer goes more towards Mr. Topping's long-time experience on the water here. This is not a new thing, not a new area.
Yes.
Mr. Zegren.
Did I understand you say that they do have poles in the water? It's not just GPS?
Yeah.
Well, I'm asking him.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, our responsibility from the health department is to provide the extents of the closure zones and how that gets marked. We do buy poles and we buy signs and we provide them to VMRC for posting of areas. Some areas are bigger challenges than others, and how they can be marked.
Okay, thank you.
If I may, I know that Officer Price indicated that the boat appeared to be too close to shore from his view, and so we had to go out and check. So if there were poles in the water showing the end of the condemned zone, I don't think he would have had to check. He would have known that the boat was inside that condemned zone. They may have provided poles, but I don't think there's any poles in the water noting the coordinates.
Any other questions from the commission? Mr. Erskine.
Mr. Topping, the convictions that you were guilty of in 2010 are in the same area?
No, sir. This was in Seaford.
Okay, thank you.
I knew I was doing wrong then. I was picking up oysters. I was trying to feed my family this time. I honestly did not know that was condemned. If you go by, it's right next to the James River Bridge up the riverside, and I was offshore of Mr. Kent Carr's ground, I knew it was polluted inside of the ground, but I did not know it made that turn off to the bridge, and that's where I was. I had no idea. There's not a sign, one. There's nothing there. I was just working down, just like always did.
Robert, when you there's a question about your prior record, and you recall only occasions in 2010 where you got tickets at the same time, same occasion?
It was one time.
Right. There were other dates, I think, that the commissioner was pointing out. Do you recall any other violations?
No, sir.
Okay, any other questions? Pastor, is there anything you want to add for a closing argument?
Only the fact that Mr. Topping has come in here, he has accepted responsibility. He certainly admits his calculations were, apparently his readings were 183 feet in, but it doesn't make any difference because he didn't know the condemned zone was there. So I would just ask that he be, that the condition, he's already had to pay the fines in the general district court, that the conditions that he has explained on the basis for the problems today lead to some kind of a probationary period rather than a suspension period.
Okay, thank you, sir. Matters before the commission.
I guess I have a question based on what he just said. In that we have a list of previous convictions, and there were four oyster convictions January 28, 2010. And then we do have a conviction listed on April 16, 2010, December 8, 2010, and October 10, 2011. These are all various oyster things. And are these incorrect? I mean, is this in our packet wrong?
Yes, sir. The uncalled oysters was a separate incident, but the rest of these were all on the same offense when Mr. Jamie Green.
You got a creepy space in there.
I have a question.
I'm
going to follow up on that. Our records show that on January 28th, there's 1, 2, three, four convictions on January 28, 2010. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Now, are you saying that the conviction on April 16, 2010 was part of that period of time you were charged?
Yes, sir. That's what I'm saying.
Well, how about the one on December the 8th, 2010?
I'm saying that one of them two is a separate, the uncalled ones. The rest of them were all same day.
Well, can you explain why, and then, of course, we've got another one there, is October 10, 2011, why those three charges wouldn't have been heard at the same time as those other four charges? Can you give us an explanation of that?
Yes, sir. I'm just telling you exactly what I know. I've had one uncalled ticket, and then Mr. Jamie Green had me for the rest of them. And it was all on the same day. Yes, sir.
Do you have a copy of...
I don't have a copy of the actual hard copy of the conviction.
No, but the summary. You got the summary there, right?
Right here in front of me, yes, sir.
I mean, I'm counting 7 different charges. Is that accurate that you had 7 charges or not?
At that one time, yes, sir.
Did you go to court on these things?
Yes, sir, I did.
And are you telling us that you went to court and all these were decided at one time?
He went back to court.
All right, but we got 4 different days. 4 different days of convictions. You follow what I'm saying, counsel?
I'm sorry.
I said, you follow what I'm saying?
No, absolutely. I see what you're saying. It appears that there are 5 that talk about a January 28, 2010 date of offense. The other 3 have different dates of offense. It's his recollection from my talking to him before today and as I stand here today, apparently that they were all ticketed at the same time. And his wife, who was back there, has indicated that at some point on at least 1 or 2 of the charges, he had to go back a second date for whatever reason. Now, the date of the offense, I understand what you're saying. The date of the offense should be the same, even if he had to go back at a different date. And I don't know if these date of offense actually should be date of conviction. I do see what you're saying.
Ms. Haney.
It might help. There are different arresting officers, if you look at the summary sheet.
Yep.
So they have to be, I would think, different offenses.
That's correct. That's a very good point.
If I could follow a question to it, then. Do you recall the names of the officers that you recall giving you tickets before?
Mr. Jamie Green.
Is that the only one you recall?
And Mr. Price.
Mr. Price from this offense, from
and,
this 2 things.
And Mr. Mike Morris wrote me the one for the 2011.
All right, so those are the ones you recall.
Yes, sir.
Now, the last date of offense I see is in 2011. Since 2011 and including 2015, has your boat been boarded a number of times by
Yeah, several times. Yeah.
You've been cooperative with it all times? You've been found to have no boisterous you're not supposed to have and no problems.
Yes, sir.
That's all I have.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Smina, would you give us a staff recommendation, please?
Yes, sir. I think the staff's recommendation is going to be based on the guidelines that you've seen before you, and again, this has gone through the law enforcement subcommittee, and the commission has had several cases like this, and staff recommendation has been pretty consistent. So, according to the guidelines for the sanctions, I just showed one conviction of harvesting oysters from a condemned area or during a closed public season within a 12-month period recommends a 1-year revocation. In accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the commission revoke all of Mr. Topping's licenses to take or catch fish, shellfish, or marine organisms for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, March 24th, 2015 through March 23rd, 2016. Staff also recommends the commission revoke Mr. Topping's fishing privileges within the Commonwealth's tidal waters for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Matters before the commission. Mr. Ballard.
Move to accept staff recommendation.
Motion by Mr. Ballard. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Neal. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. Motion passes unanimously. Mr. Topping, your license is revoked for a year. So is your tidal fishing privileges. Harvesting oysters from condemned waters is a serious health hazard. We take this very seriously. Mr. Smith.
Mr. Townsend, and this is going to sound familiar because unfortunately I was, this is what I was reading from earlier. Mr. Townsend, another commercial fisherman, he had three convictions on two separate dates in 1 year. It was one count of scraping oysters in the James River without a scrape permit for the current season, one count of taking and possession of uncalled oysters from public rocks, 9 quarts total, and one count of harvesting over the commercial limit of oysters from public scrape rocks, and it was a total of 8 bushels.
Officer Morris. You swear the testimony you give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
Officer Mike Morris.
Please proceed.
Commission members, this is dealing with Mr. Dal M. Townsell, Jr. These dates, there's a November 10th, 2014, and December 15th, 2014. On November 10th, 2014, I had an occasion to contact Mr. Townsell while he was working his commercial boat and was at the dock at Dockside Seafood, a seafood buyer. On that date, I checked his paperwork and found that he did not have a permit to scrape oysters in the James River for the period of time that we were talking about. His explanation to me on that day was that he thought that he had one and that it carried over from the previous year, but in fact, the one that he was supposed to have was 2014 into 2015. With that, I did issue him a summons. He was convicted on November 20th, 2014 in Isle of Wight County District Court for a $25 fine and cost of court of $89. The second occurrence that I had to contact him in an enforcement manner, I see him often as well as all the other watermen, but this was an enforcement action on December 15th, 2014. At the dock again at Dockside Seafood, I found him with uncalled oysters, tallying a total of 9 quarts, which is slightly over twice the legal limit of 4 quarts that they can have of uncalled or small oysters and shell in a bushel of oysters. I charged him with that as well as charging him for over the limit. The over the limit stemmed from the fact that he was the captain of a boat who had a crewman on board who told him that he had the oyster scrape license but did not in fact have one, which would allow that individual to enjoy the 8 bushel limit as well as everybody else, the other two people on the boat, if there were a total of three. Because of that, even though I charged him with that and he was convicted in court, the judge felt lenient toward him on that, gave him a $200 fine, and suspended all of the fine on payment of a small court cost. and good behavior. On the unculled oysters, he was found guilty and fined $150 with a cost of court of $89. Mr. Counsel is very cooperative, and every time that I've confronted him, if you as a board will look at the summons history by name, there is a mistake there. Mr. Dow Townsend Jr. is the son of Dow Townsend Sr., who is the only other one listed in the three pages of the summary. Mr. Dow Townsend Jr. is the first three entries on this. It's his father, who has passed away, that has all the other in the summary. So that his past history does not go beyond these 2 days.
Thank you, Officer Morris. Any questions of Officer Morris? Is Mr. Townsend in the room? Please come forward, sir. You can swear in. Do you swear the testimony you give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Please state your name for the record. Mr. Townsend, can you explain what happened here and what would you like the commission to know?
Yeah, that, as you were saying on the permit, I mean, just starting off, this is my first year out there, and I got the permit, knowing that the license gets renewed every year. I thought the permit renewed every year, so I called Mike Morris and told him, I do have my permit, but he said it don't last 3 months. I said, well, I didn't know that, so he called her there, so I will come to get my
So I'm clear that I understand here. You thought the license was good for a year from that date, not good for the calendar year?
Yeah.
All right, all right. I'm just clear.
This is my first year. This is my pop's past 3 years ago. And for the permit, I had, like I said, I had another oysterman told that the other guy had, like, not me, I didn't check it. I just took his word. He was an older guy, so I told him, we can come on, go work. We went to work. Not knowing that day, Mike Morris aboard the boat. And I had my license. And he was saying he got a license. So, you know, he was checking Mike Morris was checking everybody's license. But he was trying to explain that he had some type of permit, but not had his core license.
Right.
So that's how they went. So I just,
okay.
I told him that day he didn't board my boat no more.
Okay. Any questions from the commission? Mr. Cimino, you have a staff recommendation?
And I'll read it in accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia. Staff recommends the commission place Mr. Townsend on probation for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, March 24, 2015, through March 23, 2016, according to the commission's guidelines for sanctions. Two convictions of harvesting oysters without a gear license within a 12-month period recommends a one-year probation, or one conviction of catching more than 50% over the limit of shellfish or possession of more than 100% over the tolerance of undersized shellfish within a 12-month period would recommend 1 year probation. Any failure on Mr. Townsend's part to obey any of the laws or regulations relating to the marine resources of the Commonwealth during the 1 year probation would result in Mr. Townsend appearing before the commission for a hearing on license revocations.
So the staff recommendation is to put you on a year of probation, Mr. Townsend. Mr. Erskine.
I understand staff's recommendation. It seems to me from the testimony we've heard that there might have been a misunderstanding with you being new into the industry that the license doesn't necessarily go from the time that you purchased the license, and therefore there may have been a mistake on your part. I think you've learned that, and it seems clear from that. I might make a motion to have a six-month probation period.
Second. A motion by Mr. Erskine, six-month probation, a second by Ms. Haney. Mr. Townsend, one, welcome to the fishery. Two, you got a better idea now of some of the pitfalls you might run across.
Right.
Can I strongly advise, if you have any questions about licensing or catch limits or anything else, to call staff here we're actually very good about answering questions and being very responsive. We want you to have a successful career in the commercial fishing industry. So there's a motion and a second here that we push on 6 month probation. You dot your I's, you cross your T's, you make sure you don't screw anything up here, you're good to go. Any discussion on the motion and the second? All in favor, say aye.
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 Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. 6 months of probation. I'm sure you're going to have everything dotted, the I's dotted and the T's crossed. Thank you, Mr. Townsend. Mr. Smith.
The next two individuals were together, so if I could, I'll take them both as one. Mr. Marcellus Sawyer and Marshall Sawyer, recreational harvesters, had two convictions on January 26, 2015, for one count of harvesting over the limit striped bass and one count of harvesting undersized striped bass.
Officer Price.
Yes, sir. This is an offense occurred in the city of Pocosin. On December 15, 2014, I was in the area of Messick Point Marina when I observed a 2005 18-foot Sea Fox boat come into Messick Point. Upon the boat coming into the dock, I walked up to the vessel, spoke with them, asked them how they were doing, if they had had any luck today referring to catching any fish. Marshall Sawyer advised they had caught two rockfish that day. I asked him if I could take a look at him. His father went up to the front of the vessel. There was two coolers present. Opened the first cooler. There was nothing in that cooler. Upon opening the second cooler, that cooler was full of rockfish, which I observed several, which I thought would be under 18 inches of the minimum length requirement. At that point, I advised both Sawyers that we had a problem and asked them to pass that cooler up onto the dock. Upon further inspection, there were 16 total rockfish. Three of those rockfish measured between 16 and 17 inches, and the remaining 13 fish were over 18 inches but less than 28 inches. Upon speaking with Mr. Sawyer, Marshall Sawyer, the son, he and his father went out that day. They had got into a school of rockfish. Both of them acknowledged that. They got excited. They hadn't caught any rockfish in several years, so they kept the fish. Both of them were very cooperative with me. On January 26, 2015, both defendants came to York County General District Court before Judge Hudgens, accepted responsibility for their actions, and both of them pled guilty to both charges. Marshall Sawyer was fined, or both of them were fined $100 each for possession over the limit rockfish, and both of them each were charged $75 per person for undersized rockfish. And again, they were both cooperative during the entire process.
Any questions? On the commission.
I guess I have one. In your statement, I guess it was fairly obvious that they knew the regulations.
Yes, sir. It was. They knew the regulations.
Until you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah. Noted that they first stated they had caught two rockfish, which was the limit. Kind of implies they knew what the limit was, and then there was this other cooler that had more than two. Correct?
All the fish were in one cooler. The first cooler was empty.
Oh.
Had like a sandwich or something in it. And then when they opened the second cooler, all the fish were in that cooler.
Thank you for the clarification. Are Mr. and Mr. Sawyer in the room? Please come forward, gentlemen. You know the drill. You've seen enough of it so far, have you? You swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Yep.
Thank you. Please state your names for the record.
Marshall Sawyer.
Marshall Sawyer.
What can you tell us about this, Mr. Sawyers?
Well, August the 15th, got overexcited. Couldn't help. Damn rockfish jumped right in the boat. Well, the dwarf had put him in the cooler and bring him back with us. We knew that all was too perfect, but just one of them days that when he'd been out there for two or three years and not do anything, didn't catch a scale, and all of a sudden, on top of him.
Any questions from the commission? Mr. Cimino, what's the staff recommendation?
So we don't see a lot of recreational convictions brought before you. This is one that, just to remind this group, the sanctions that were brought weren't just brought to a law enforcement subcommittee. As we've mentioned many times, it went before our Fin Fish Management Advisory Committee. Law enforcement rated these, and staff rated these. And that average score that you see there highlighted, 78%, really that means all the parties involved saw this as something that would at least bring these individuals before the commission on just one conviction. With that said, the recommendation is still for 1 year probation on that. So I'll read the whole staff recommendation here. In accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the commission place Mr. Sawyer on probation for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, March 24, 2015, through March 23, 2016. According to the commission's guidelines for the sanctions, one conviction of exceeding the recreational possession limit by 100% or three fish over the limit, whichever is greater, within a 12-month period recommends a one-year probation. Any failure on their part to obey any of the laws or regulations relating to the marine resources of the Commonwealth during the one-year probation period would result in their appearance before the commission for a hearing on license revocation.
Joe, I guess what are the guidelines for keeping undersized fish? You gave us the guidelines for keeping over the limit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if it was in there.
Yeah, there it is. Fourth from the bottom.
So those are two and 24 months, and in really all of these offenses on the first appearance, are the recommendation is for a 1 year probation. And the only other thing, just not necessarily to this case, but some of the bag limits are much smaller. That's why you see the difference between is it just three fish or is it 100%? Because some of the bag limits are actually quite large. So it's the variance in the bag limit that has the 100% or three fish over.
Well, let me interject just one thing. Gentlemen, I can understand getting overexcited, but, you know, this is rockfish, and the rockfish stocks actually need a little bit of help here. We need to keep it at a sustainable level here. You know, I can see getting overexcited and keeping an extra fish, two fish. But I wouldn't condone it, but you guys topped out at 16. I mean, that's not a little over. That ain't a little fudging. That's like pretty over the top.
You topped out at 9 over between two of us.
That's
and 3 over.
Excellent point.
That's 12. We had a lot of people coming over for Christmas weekend, and that's how I was looking at it. It wasn't like, oh, he showed a fish in the boat to be greedy.
All right. Thank you for the clarification. Mr. Erskine.
It sounds like from your testimony you all understand that, you know, there was a problem and you made a mistake and everything, so I appreciate you being honest about it. I'd make a motion to accept staff recommendation for 1 year probation.
There's a motion for staff recommendation for the staff recommendation of 1 year probation. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Ballard. Any discussion on that? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes?
No.
No by Mr. Neal. The chair votes aye as well here. The motion passes. Gentlemen, you got a year probation. Mm-hmm. Cut the I's, cross the T's. We don't want to see you back here. Thank you, gentlemen.
I guess I just want to make it clear. My no is I don't think they should have probation. I think they should have more. Okay. So
they should have more probation.
More probation.
Okay.
So I want to make sure. That is not that I'm opposing probation.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification.
One more case. That's one more recreational case. Mr. Jack Shiver had two convictions on two separate dates in 1 year. One count of possession of undersized striped bass, one fish, and one count of possession of over-the-limit striped bass, six fish in possession.
Officer. You swear the testimony you give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so up you got?
Yes, I do.
Sean, will you please identify yourself?
Yes, sir. My name is Officer Sean Hixenbaugh.
What can you tell us about this case?
Basically, I had the occurrence to meet up with Mr. Shiver out in the York River, at the mouth of the York River, on December 17, 2014. I noticed there was a fairly good-sized group of vessels that were out rock fishing. And upon my approach, I noticed that the birds were working good, the bait fish was swimming in the water good, and people were casting about as fast as they could. Probably 95% of them were catching fish one right after the other. I noticed this vessel that was probably a couple hundred yards off to my right a little bit. My partner, Officer Miller, was actually doing another vessel inspection, so we were up next to another vessel. So I was kind of observing the fleet and watching what they were doing. And then I heard a diesel motor start up on a boat and take off at a high rate of speed. I thought this was kind of weird, like I said earlier. Everybody was casting as fast as they could go. I mean, you know, they do it. They get out there, and while they're biting, they catch what they can, you know, just for the fun of it. So I instructed my partner to head towards the vessel. He did. We pulled up on Mr. Shiver's vessel. He was kind of startled to see us because of the loud diesel-powered motor that he had on his vessel. And he turned around, brought it down, and I asked him if he had had any luck today. And he said, yeah, I did. And he went right into his cabin of his boat and brought out two fish and laid them on the deck for me. At that point, my partner had come up alongside the vessel. We had stopped. I'd asked Mr. Shiver if I could come aboard. I had permission to come aboard. And he said, yeah, sure, come on aboard. So I got on board, and I measured both of the fish, and the fish were within the regular regulatory guidelines of 18 to 28. And I asked Mr. Shiver if I could take a look at his safety equipment on the vessel, just do a quick safety check. He went inside the cabin of the vessel and kind of turned around in the middle of the doorway and said, what do you need to see again? Like, I could tell he was visibly nervous. So I said, Mr. Shiver, is there any more fish on the board or on board that I need to know of? He said, yeah. And he pointed towards the inside of the cabin, so I instructed him to go sit at the stern of his vessel, went in and retrieved a blue cooler. I believe it was a 32-quart cooler. It was located underneath of a bunch of old clothing, tackle boxes, and stuff like that. It was hidden from view. Pulled it out and discovered four more rockfish on board. And pulled the rockfish out, measured the other four. Three of them were within the 18 to 28 inch size guide limit, and the small one actually measured out at 16 and a half. So he was charged with the over the limit of rockfish and one undersized in possession. He was convicted, as you see, on January 2016 in York County General District Court, and received a fine of $35 and court costs of $25, and that was for the undersized. The over the limit was, he was fined $100 and court cost was $86. He was quite cooperative the entire time.
Any questions for the officer? Thank you, sir. Is Mr. Jack Shiver in the room? I'm sorry, you go by Tony. Is that correct?
Jack is.
All right. Tony, you hereby swear the testimony you give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self you got? Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
Jack A. Shiver.
Thank you. What can you tell us about this?
Sorry to waste your time. I really don't have anything to say. I do have a quick question for the officer. It's interesting to me that, did you state you were 100 yards away?
No.
How far were you?
About a couple hundred yards.
You were a couple of hundred yards. And you were in a big contingent of boats that were fishing at the time?
Yes.
And they all had the engines running? but yet you heard my engine start up 200 yards away.
I've got a little 25-foot boat with a small diesel engine on it. It's quite remarkable to me that, yeah, I mean, you must have really good hearing to be able to hear my boat start up 200 yards away. It's really neither here nor there. He's saying that his suspicions arose because I started my engine up and left this area rather quickly. I would contend that you got a tip from a person you were checking at the time that perhaps said you might want to go check that gentleman. And I think that's probably how it occurred. Well, anyway. But I pleaded guilty. I know the law. And I don't have anything else.
And the magic words are?
Sorry to waste your time.
The magic words are it's not going to happen again?
Absolutely. Particularly with you changing the season next year.
Exactly.
It'll be hard pressed to.
Yep. Stocks do need a bit of help. Any
one
questions?
Fish a day. It's going to be tough. I'm sorry to, you know, I like I said.
Any questions from the commission? Mr. Cimino, the staff recommendation in this case is?
Well, as you saw at the table, really any of these violations on their first appearance would be for a one-year probation. So, in accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the commission place Mr. Shiver on probation for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, March 24, 2015, through March 23, 2016. According to the commission's guidelines for sanctions, one conviction of exceeding the recreational possession limit by 100% or three fish over the limit, whichever is greater, within a 12-month period recommends a one-year probation. Any failure on Mr. Shiver's part to obey any of the laws or regulations relating to the marine resources of the Commonwealth during the one-year probation would result in Mr. Shiver appearing before the commission for a hearing on license revocation.
Thank you, Mr. Smito. Matters before the commission.
Motion to approve staff recommendation.
Motion by Ms. Haney to approve staff recommendation.
Second.
Second by Mr. Erskine. Any discussion?
Yeah, I have a little discussion.
Mr. Neal.
This knowingly poaching striped bass by recreational anglers and trying to hide it, you know, there's no excuse. There's no, I didn't know the law. It's damaging to our resources. It's damaging to recreational fishing in general. It gives us all a black eye. And I think in the future, particularly since we're having to make stricter and stricter regulations, that if this becomes a trend, we're going to need to start becoming harder on these cases. And this $100 fine and put you on a year of probation, you know, that's what we're going to do today. But in the future, if this resource keeps suffering like it is, we're going to have to be stronger in our protection of it. That's my comments.
Okay. Any other discussion from the commission? Well, we have a motion and a second for staff recommendation of 1 year of probation. Here, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes?
No.
No by Mr. Neal. The chair votes aye. It's 1 year of probation. Mr. Shiver, you good to go?
Sure. I'd like to make a recommendation to you. I don't want to take any more of your time.
Okay.
Perhaps to this gentleman's concern about the fishery, you might consider an alternative, which is your season is an 88-day season, which allows a two fish per day. That's 176 fish per recreational fisherman in one season that you're giving us the luxury of catching. I don't think that goal has ever been met by a single recreational fisherman in the history of your program. I'm sure it's up for argument, but nonetheless, perhaps you could give me 176 tags that I could use like the commercial fellows. My fish are accounted for. I haven't exceeded the limit that you've already set at 176 fish over this 88-day period, and everybody would be happy.
Mr. Shiver here, if you would like to have a discussion with fishery managers on why the regulations are set the way they're set and how the recreational industry is treated in comparison to the commercial industry, which is absolutely equal 50-50. Please call Mr. Cimino at any point here, or you can call me. I'm happy to talk about it here.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.